You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The retail investment world is undergoing a quiet revolution. Younger generations are not only investing earlier, but they are doing it differently. There's more trust in artificial intelligence, embracing cryptocurrency and turning to social media for financial advice. So what's the picture in South Africa? Well, the picture is somewhat nuanced. Confidence is high, but debt obviously remains a major challenge. And I think it's fair to say that financial literacy gaps persist. So I want to discuss the findings now of the new Global Retail Investor Outlook. It's a collaborative study by the World Economic Forum, Robinhood, and Boston Consulting Group. And in that respect, we're joined by Dean Frankel, Managing Director and Partner at BCG, who leads their asset and wealth management work across Western Europe, South America, and Africa. Dean, a very warm welcome. So this research, it paints a very different picture of today's investor. So are you able to tell me who the typical retail investor is in 2025 and how their approach has changed?
Yeah, well, firstly, it's great to be here today. And it's really a pleasure to have co-authored the report because, as you say, the world is changing and retail investing, I think many have thought was a bit of a fad during COVID. It hasn't really gone away. We see the growth of 20-odd% year on year, and it's here to stay. The problem, as you mentioned, is that the retail investor is changing, and it's changing in good ways, but also in bad ways. Participating in capital markets should be one of the most powerful ways to build long-term wealth, but there are real barriers. We start with education. 45% of investors, or of non-investors rather, say they don't know how to invest. So there's really a barrier to getting to participate in markets. Only 40% of retail investors use a financial advisor. Many rely on TikTok or YouTube. And while social media can be empowering, it can also be very misleading. And then there's a big issue around trust. So 63% of retail investors globally say they'd invest more if they trusted the system. And, you know, we see the people being afraid of hidden fees, fine print, and institutions that sometimes seem to play by different rules. So when you put all those things together, and when you throw AI into the mix, the world is going to change going forward, and it's a really interesting topic that needs a lot more debate.
When you talk about trusting the system, what in fact does that mean, and what does the system need to do then in order to regain that trust?
So it's a great question. When we ask questions around trust, we're asking questions on what would encourage you to A, participate, and what would encourage you to participate more in financial markets. And actually, we found in South Africa and actually in many of the emerging markets, people had more trust in some of the financial institutions than in more developed markets. What does it mean? It means that people feel as though they aren't being lied to. They feel as though that the institution that they're partnering with has their best interest at heart. And it's a key driver because, as we see in the data, participation in investing is lower than it should be. And if you don't participate, you do miss out in capturing financial wealth and the opportunities ahead of you. So it's a really, really critical driver that needs to be addressed. In terms of how to address it, your question, many different things that can be put in place. I think really addressing those drivers around access, education, trust, and then actually having the financial incentives to really participate as well. So many countries have well-publicized and well-documented tax-free, tax-incentivized structures being put in place, but it's really about increasing those and increasing access to those. And everyone can play a part, be that policymakers, governments, and also the financial institutions themselves.
Dean, I'm not surprised when the work or the survey reveals that there's a clear trend towards trusting artificial intelligence for investment advice. I guess that's inevitable. But I wonder if there's enough realization of the risks and I guess the rewards in the shift.
Yeah, it's again, a great question. I think in terms of the risks, they are real. We know about hallucinations with AI models. We know about essentially wrong information being provided. But at the same time, most of the information that is available is probably is probably better. And if we speak about the issues around access, education, and trust, you know, the data shows that people are very respondent or very, very sensitive and very open to trusting AI. I think 42% of South African investors said they would trust an AI advisor. That's almost double the rate of what you see in the UK. Many people, and 60% of South African respondents, have struggled with meeting debt or near short-term financial issues. And really, if there's an easy way at your desktop that can help you do that, it's a very convenient and, I think, simple way to try and help, not necessarily solve, but try and help the solution going forward. Clearly, as you say, there is a risk associated with the wrong information getting into the wrong hands, but hopefully increased information should help.
And just a quick one in conclusion, more than half of Gen Z investors now hold crypto or alternative assets, if I read this correctly. I wonder if these allocations are aligned with their actual risk profiles, though.
I would agree with you. I think we were actually quite, shocked in a bad way, but interested in a good way with some of that data. And actually, when you read the report, and I encourage your listeners to do so, it's more a question of awareness of financial products. And I think what you're finding is those firms that are able to better market directly to customers through digital marketing are able to better increase their awareness of certain products, and actually the awareness of more traditional assets like stocks or long-term bonds are much lower. And it clearly, as you say, in a more diverse portfolio, you'd want a mixture of all things, and probably not to have your largest allocation in crypto.
Dean Frankel, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate your time.